certainly are again thankful for the presence of each and every one of you here. We do have some visitors. We want you to know that you are our honored guest and hope that you have other opportunities to come back and to be with us. As we state from time to time, it is the purpose here as we gather together to study God's Word, to worship Him only in that way that is set forth in the New Testament. It is by that way and by that truth that is revealed that we know that we are pleasing in the sight of God. And we want to add nothing to it, nor do we want to take anything away from God's Word. I want to add also with Brother Blackaby concerning the radio program that hope you have an opportunity to listen to it. As we began this morning, we're discussing a topic that I believe is very vital in our society today. It affects not only the home, it affects the church, it affects the nation in which we live, and it is something, again, that I believe in our society we see we're getting away from the Word of God, and we need to get back to that which has been written by Him. We're going to continue that particular discussion next Sunday morning, so that we hope that you have an opportunity to listen in. For the time that we have together this morning, I'd like for us to talk about the subject of stewardship, or the attitude that we have toward the possessions that are ours. Some might think concerning this particular subject that it's not the most important one that's found in the Word of God. They might not list it right up there with baptism or with faith or with some of the other things that are mentioned there. But I believe it is one that deserves our undivided attention. Because in a certain respect, as we stand before the throne of God, it is God who is going to decide our faithfulness. And that faithfulness, is, in some extent, is going to depend upon how we use what God has given unto us, as to where we're going to spend eternity, as to that which we have done, what we have done with His possessions. And I believe that it is a timely study for all of us to consider. Because as we know that in the country in which we live, we are greatly blessed. We have more physical possessions and more opportunities than perhaps any other nation, any other people have at any time in the history of the world. I have had an opportunity to visit other countries. I have been in Mexico. I have been in Vietnam, and I have been in Thailand, and I have seen some of these third world countries and how they live. And we are truly blessed. Others who've had an opportunity to be in other nations around the world, even in those that might live by what we would consider close to our standard, we find that we are greatly blessed in the physical possessions that are ours. And even though we might think that year after year those blessings are dwindling because of financial stress that has come to us, we have still so many things in our society and in our life. And many questions, I believe, would come to the child of God in regard to the physical possessions that they have, and how they are going to react to what God has given unto them. What am I going to do with it? As a child of God, how am I going to react to what God has given unto me? How am I going to use what God has given unto me? Well, I believe that there are several attitudes that prevail in our society. And we look at our society and we find people who have this idea that everything I have is mine. I worked hard for it, I gave up time, and I gave up effort, and I forwent any pleasure that I might have so that I could have these things. They are mine, and I'm going to use them as I want. I'm going to set up my own standard by what I'm going to do with this which has come my way. There's another attitude that is prevalent even among those who we might consider very religious people, and that is, part of what God has given unto me, I'm going to return to Him. There is a portion that is His, and I'm going to give back unto Him that portion. But that which remains mine is going to be mine. And I'm going to set up the standard by which I'm going to use this. I'm not going to let anyone determine for me how this portion that is mine is going to be spent, how it is going to be used. It is mine, and I claim old ownership over it. There is an attitude also, and I believe this is one that it should be within all children of God, and that is the attitude that all that I have comes from God. All that I have then belongs unto Him. And I must use wisely the blessings that He has bestowed upon me. That I must use them as He directs. Even those things that are my portion. I have directives and commandments from God that says I have to use them in a certain way. The word steward, as we examine it, simply means one who has been given charge over the property of another individual. One who has been given charge over that property or over the possessions of someone else. And I believe this truly defines our position as children of God. We are not, in the strictest sense, owners of those things that we have. Whatever it might be. Whatever wonderful blessings or limited blessings might have been given to us, they do not belong to us. We are not the owner of those things. We find that, again, this is our position, that we are more or less caretakers. We are kind of like Joseph, if you remember the story in the Old Testament, of how in the house of Potiphar, and also even with Pharaoh, that he was a steward. He was a trusted person. And that which was given unto him belonged unto Potiphar, or it belonged unto Pharaoh. And yet in this stewardship that he had, we find that he was very faithful to God and to that individual whose possessions he was entrusted with. This idea of stewardship, that is being an individual who has been given charge over the property of someone else. I believe this is a lesson that we need to learn. Older Christians, but especially those who are younger in their years. And I believe in our society that this is a lesson that so many, even Christians, fail to appreciate. They fail to understand. Because we find some who in our society, with many young people and many of those who are Christians, because they're no exception in this, that it seems that they want to have everything all at once. They want to have everything that their parents had. That when a young couple gets married, they want to have everything that their mother and father have taken perhaps 20 or 30 years to gain. They want to have it right away. They want to have that fine home and that nice furniture. They want to have a house here and a house there and vacations everywhere, two cars. They want everything all at once. And in our society, with the way credit is, it's so easy for them to have it. And so they go out and they get these things. But in their desire to be that way, we find that so many young couples get themselves into a great deal of debt. And they do that without giving much thought to their responsibility in stewardship unto God. That God has given them these things and that they are stewards. We find that before too long, these young couples, as they begin to grow, realize that they can't afford to give as they have the blessings entrusted unto them. Because they're in such great debt, they find that they can't be good stewards of what God has given unto them. And I'm not just talking about in money. We're also talking about in time and in effort that is given toward the work of the Lord. They find that they have to work in some instances two or three jobs. And their time is eaten up and it's taken away from that work that they would give unto the Lord and to the church. And it's simply because in the very beginning, they were not good stewards of what God could and would give unto them. And so in the end, they begin to waste that which God has given unto them. We want to talk about, as we said this morning, this idea of stewardship. And we want to know from the very beginning, what is it that God teaches on it? What is it that God teaches on stewardship? And this should always be our very first consideration. This should be our consideration, and regardless of what we might be speaking of. Regardless in that which we want to study is what God wants me to do. What are His thoughts on it? Well, we must understand that stewardship necessitates ownership. If there is going to be a stewardship, then it is of necessity mean that someone is going to have to be an owner. That's really what it boils down to. And we want to know then, who owns the possessions that I have? Those things that are mine, who owns them? Do I own them, or does someone else own them? Because the owner is able to do with his possessions whatever he wants to do. If it belongs unto him, he has the right, the power, the authority to do whatever he wants to with that which is his possession. But the steward must answer to the owner. He must answer to someone who has entrusted him with these possessions. And it is either I as the individual am the owner, or someone else is. And who is the owner of all that has been given unto me? Well, I think as we can see from the Word of God, very plainly set forth, I don't own it. You don't own it. It belongs unto God. He is the one that created it. He is the one that brought it into being. And God is the owner. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 24, Paul, as he is teaching there, those philosophers on Mars Hill in Athens, he says, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. He was talking about them, trying to teach them there that God, the God of heaven, doesn't dwell in temples that were made with hands. He's not worshipped in this way. But he says that it is God who has made all that there is. In Psalms 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. These things are very simple. Set forth there that everything belongs unto God. There's a passage of Scripture that I do not have written here on the chart. In Job chapter 41 in verse 11. If you will read with me there some of the things that God had to say to Job and Job to God. Chapter 41 of Job in verse 11 says there, who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. Everything belongs unto God. Everything has been created by him. In Deuteronomy, again, another passage that I don't have on that, Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 14, we find God is trying to teach the children of Israel, and he says there, indeed heaven and the highest heaven belong to the Lord your God, so also the earth with all that is within it. These are passages of Scripture that lets us know the ownership of all that there is, and that is God. He is the one that these things belong to. He is the one then that has the right, the power, and authority to do with these things as he pleases. It is not man. Man does not own these things. As stewards, we are told or we are directed by God as to what we are to do. And this stewardship is directed toward man. We find from the very beginning there in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 26 that God gave certain things unto man, and man was to fulfill that obligation. He was there set in the garden, and he was supposed to subdue the earth. He was supposed to subdue the animals, and all of these things that God had given him to do there at the very beginning, these were things that God directed man in his stewardship. And so simply what the Bible declares unto us is this, that God owns it. He is the legal and rightful owner of all things. And it is man who has been given the privilege and the honor of using the blessings of God. So we see in this that God owns all things. All ownership is in him. We are stewards. Man has been given certain things, certain blessings. And we know then that we must do as God has directed. Another thing that we need to notice in stewardship is that we as Christians belong unto God. We belong to him. We have been purchased with a price. God's children do have a special relationship with him. We have been purchased. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, we find there that we have been purchased with the precious blood of Christ. We belong unto him. We have been brought back from sin. We have been brought back from that which is evil and sinful, that from Satan. There in 1 Corinthians 6, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Very plainly, very simply then, we see that we are not our own. We belong unto someone else. Therefore, that which we have, the blessings which we have, belong also unto our Father in heaven. There in Romans chapter 6, in verses 16 through 18. Once again, as Paul is writing this time to the saints in Rome, he says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? But God be thanked that you were slaves of sin, that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. In being bought with this price, in being purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been free from sin. We have been freed from slavery unto Satan. And now we belong unto God. We are his. The Christian then belongs unto God. And in this concept then of stewardship, all that is within our possession belongs unto God. All that we have and all that we are. We also find that God provides for us those things that we have. Those things that meets life's needs. The necessities from day to day. God gives these things unto us. He allows us to have them. Once again, there in Acts the 17th chapter. And verse 25, as Paul is speaking there on Mars Hill to those philosophers, he says, nor is he worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. God gives unto us all things that we need, all things that maintain life and health, both physical and spiritual. God gives these things unto us. So again, in this concept of stewardship, that which we have within our possession, these things belong unto God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. He speaks there about the sun rising on the evil and on the good, and the rain coming on the just and the unjust. God provides these things for mankind. He gives them to us. But even we find in this spiritual life that we have, and in this spiritual relationship that we have with God, He provides us with all things. In this spiritual warfare, we find that the battle belongs or is the Lord's. It belongs unto Him. We are in a spiritual battle. We're in a battle for our souls. We want eternal life. And in God we have the provisions of eternal life. But those things are given by God. Even in the battle here we find that the weapons that we use have been given to us by God. We're not able to overcome sin. By ourselves we cannot overcome Satan. But it is by the help of God and those provisions that He gives unto us that we have victory. We have spiritual life. And we know that in the end we can be with God throughout all eternity. 2 Corinthians 10 and verses 3 through 5. We find there that He gives unto us our weapons. We find in such places as Ephesians 6 verses 11 through 19. That we are His soldiers, and as His soldiers, He equips us for battle. He gives us all the things that we need. What we have, what we are, those things that we become, all of these belong unto God. He is the owner. And in this idea of stewardship, we also recognize that God does not take second best. God will not be second place in our life. If God is not in first place, then He is not there at all. We might think that He is. We might put Him second or third, but He's not there. We fooled ourselves into thinking that He is there, but He is not. God does not accept just anything we want to give unto Him, but He wants our best. And He will not be placed anywhere in our life but first. What we are, and all that we are, and all that we have, we owe to Him. And you know, that can't be said about anybody else. That can't be said about our parents. That can't be said about our husband or our wife or our children or some benefactor that has given us certain things. That all we have and all we are is because of that person. It can only be said of God. All that we are, all that we have, we owe to Him. And therefore we must place Him first. We must place His cause above everything else. And this is something that we have to deal with when it comes to stewardship. That all we are and all we have belongs unto Him. Matthew 6 and 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Here we find Christ is addressing these individuals who were concerned about the day-to-day necessities, food and clothing and shelter. And His emphasis was, you put Me first, and I'll take care of all these other things. I'll give them to you. This is something that we again have to deal with. We have to think about when it comes to our stewardship. That which God has given unto us. That which God has made us. In Matthew chapter 10. In verses 34 through 39. We find Christ as He is speaking there. And He says, do not think that I come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, and a mother-in-law against a daughter-in-law. And a man's foes will be those of his own house. He says, goes on to say, he who loves mother and father more than Me is not worthy of Me. And he who loves son or daughter more than Me is not worthy of Me. But he who does not take his cross and follow after Me is not worthy of Me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for My sake will find it. You know, a lot of people in our day and age think that what they have, their possessions, that equals them. That's the sum total of their life and their existence and their being. And Jesus Christ says, you've got to give that up if you want to have me. If you want to have the promises of God, you must lose your life. You must put it second if you're going to find your life, if you're going to have eternal life. God is not pleased when He provides for us all those things that we have, and then we in turn give unto Him our second best. God's not pleased with that. I don't believe He'll ever be pleased with that. He expects the best from us, and we must consider that when it comes to the subject of stewardship. When we simply satisfy ourselves, first of all, and give unto God all that is left over, He's not going to be pleased. That's not what God wants from us. In considering stewardship, we also must consider the fact that in this life that we are living now, we are preparing ourselves for heaven. This life, this physical existence that God has so graciously given unto us, is seed time for eternity. What we are planting now, we will reap later on. It's going to grow, and we're going to have a harvest. And this is seed time for that harvest time that is ahead. And we should be preparing ourselves for heaven. This life in which we live is not our permanent dwelling place. We are not going to be here eternally. We're only going to be here a short number of years. And we have got to prepare ourselves for eternity with God. We are looking forward to that home where we are citizens. And we're not citizens here on this earth. Our citizenship, Paul says in Colossians 3, is in heaven. And that's where we're planning for. That's where we're wanting to go. And we must keep this in mind when we think about stewardship. This life is something that is temporary. And so often we forget that, don't we? So often that slips our mind, that this is not a permanent dwelling place, that we are only here for a short while. We too often think that life is not worth living if we don't have everything we want. If we can't have everything that we want, then life's really not worth it at all. So we become self-centered and we become selfish. And we have to have the biggest, and we have to have the best, and we will go after that. We'll go after it with all of our money and with all of our time and with all of our effort, because we think our life consists of these things, forgetting about that home that we are looking to. And it seems that some Christians are getting to have what they want, even if it means putting Christ second. They forget what He had to say in Matthew 16 and verse 26. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? There's people in this life who are giving so very little in exchange for their soul. And it's for the things in this life, those possessions that they can have. And they're going to hold on to it regardless of what God has to say concerning stewardship. We also must keep in mind as we consider this that we will all give an account unto God for how we have used these things in this life. And if we are wasteful, then we're going to have to give an answer for that. How have we used what God has provided? How have we used that? Have we done so in a good way? Has it been wasteful? Has it been helpful to us or to others? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul makes the statement there, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found, found faithful. That's what it's all about. That's why we are stewards, and that's what we are striving for as stewards of what God has provided and given unto us, is that we are going to be faithful. Faithful unto Him. We can read in Luke 16 the story there of the prodigal son. And that word prodigal, as we know, simply means wasteful. And that's what the son was. He took that which belonged unto his father, that which he was his inheritance, and he spent it wastefully. He was a prodigal, wasteful son. And of course, the lesson in that is we should not be. That we should not be in the forgiveness that is found on the part of God. We are going to give an account for this life. And in consideration of stewardship, these are things that we must keep in mind. We must keep in mind, first of all, ownership. That these things that are before us in the world, that these things belong unto God. And that we as Christians belong unto God. We have been purchased with a price. Not only have we been created by God, not only are we His workmanship, but as children of God, He purchased us. He bought us back from sin and from death. Also, provisions are made by God. They're given by God. That in this spiritual battle or warfare that is before us as His children, He gives unto us all the things that are needed. Considering stewardship, we recognize the fact that God does not and will not take second best. And that we are striving in this lifetime, which is seed time for eternity, to prepare ourselves for heaven. Because it'll be on that day that we'll give an account for how we have used things in this life. We want to draw this lesson to a close this morning. Hopefully, Lord willing, we'll continue this tonight. Continue talking about stewardship and those things that God would have us to do. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, we hope that, first of all, you know what you need to do in order to be saved. The Word of God is very plain and very simple. There's nothing hard there about it. There's nothing hard to understand, as we have discussed before. It may be hard to do. It may be hard to humble ourselves before God and obey the commandments, but they're not hard to understand. For us, we must have faith in Jesus Christ, faith in God, that we must repent of our sins, confess that faith in Jesus Christ, and as the Bible expresses, to be baptized for the remission of your sins. These are things that are necessary if we're going to be pleasing in the sight of God. These are things that are there in the book. These are not men's words. These are not come from any group of individuals here. This comes from the Word of God. You can search your own Bible and you can find it. And these are things we must do. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ this morning, we hope that in singing this song, you will answer that invitation. You'll do what is right. Won't you answer God's invitation as we stand and as we sing?